evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, July 6, 2016. Unknown gunmen ambush a passenger vehicle on the road between Torit and Kapoita, killing passengers.
That is the second incident that happened yesterday. Affected about six, two injuries and then four deaths. It is total to five dead bodies.
And government dismisses a report by the International Crisis Group.
These are people who benefited behind crisis. And as I say, would all the time would like to give negative reports about whatever happens in any part of the world, not even South Sudan alone.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. State officials in Torit say five people were killed and at least three others injured in two separate incidents when an unidentified gunman attacked a passenger vehicle along the Torit-Kapoita Road on Monday and Tuesday. As Demo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit, a medical worker at Torit Civil Hospital says some of the injured are in critical condition.
According to eyewitnesses, gunmen shot at a passenger vehicle at a place called Tohobak on the Torit-Kapoita Road, 30 kilometers from Torit town on Monday. The driver of the vehicle was killed. Witnesses say passengers jumped out of the moving vehicle and fled into the nearby bush. A woman who survived the attack says attackers stole everything from her and the other passengers, including money and luggage. The woman who agreed to have her voice recorded but did not want to be identified by name for fear of retaliation from the attackers describes what happened.
It was 10 p.m. when they started shooting at us. They shot the driver and he fell down, and the vehicle continued to move for some distance. When it stopped, all of us jumped out and fled into the bush. When the attackers came, they were calling for people to come out, but no one did so. I had my sister's child who cried, and the attackers came and caught me. They took everything from me and those in the vehicle.
She says there were about 10 gunmen, but she could not clearly see their faces or clothing in the dark. In the second incident yesterday, a non-gunman shot at a Land Cruiser at a place called Idolu on the same road approximately 10 kilometers from Torit. The vehicle was transporting passengers from Kapoita to Torit. Eyewitnesses say four people were killed on the spot, were wounded, and are being treated at Torit Civil Hospital. This morning, anxious residents crowded around the entrance of the hospital's mortuary, hoping their loved ones were not among the five bodies. Aboard Jamie Sam is the administrator for Torit State Hospital. Jamie says most of the dead are men, including one police officer.
At Idoli. That is the second incident that happened yesterday. Affected about six, two injuries, and then four deaths. It is total to five dead bodies.
Jamie says medical specialists are closely monitoring the situation of those wounded during the attack and will make necessary recommendations to save their lives.
At my eyewitness, their condition, before they were brought, that it was so bad, but they were under medical emergency care. I cannot comment so much.
Major General Edward Dimitiri Lokak, the Imatong State Police Commissioner, says security forces are working to prevent further attacks on the Torit-Kapoita Road. He did not specify what measures are being taken to reduce the violence along the road linking the state to Kenya. VOA News, I am Demo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
And authorities in Torit say they are hunting for unknown gunmen who attacked the fire brigade offices and killed one guard. The attackers also stole a number of guns in the weekend attack. Imatong State Police Commissioner urged residents to remain calm. Kaltuma Vanessa has this report for VOA from Torit.
Imatong State Police Commissioner Major General Edward Dimitri Lokak says the gunmen attacked the fire brigade about 3 a.m. Saturday. Lokak says the gunmen stole unspecified number of guns.
These are the guns which are not in use, and the number exactly is is not yet identified because that, I think, was the scraps being kept in that store. And I think it's around 6 or 7 counts, but of no use.
Wildlife officer Philip Taban claims two of the guards on duty that night were under the influence of alcohol. Taban alleges the attackers killed the one guard who was sober and put up a fight. He also disputes Lokak's statement that stolen guns do not work.
One of the fire brigade was drunk. The people came and attacked and killed one. They took 32 guns. This is what I had and what we have seen. The guns were good and working.
Lokak says he doesn't know how many gunmen took part in the attack and says the government is investigating.
This is a criminal act and I think we are going to review our security plan, because that office is just a small office responsible for firefighting in the town. That is why the criminals choose that position.
Dimitri called on citizens to remain calm, and he says he is confident that state authorities will track down the attackers.
Let them not take the incident as if the security organs are not working. The security is in place, and we are sure that nothing will happen.
Dimitri is advising residents to go on with their normal routines. The former Eastern Equatorial State has been a hotbed for cattle wrestling between different ethnic communities in the area. Early this year, the state governor embarked on a campaign to persuade area youth to stop raiding cattle in the newly created Imotong State. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Torit.
A Belgium-based think tank warns that South Sudan may slide back into a full-scale civil war given all the recent outbreaks of deadly violence across the country and the failure of the two former warring parties to fully implement the peace deal signed nearly a year ago. Waki Simon Wudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
In a two-page report released late last week, the International Crisis Group, or ICG, said the honeymoon period for the agreement is now over, adding that the peace agreement is on the verge of collapsing. The International Crisis Group says the fighting is spreading to areas which were initially peaceful. The ICG warns that unless something is done quickly, it's only a matter of time before the government and the SPLM in opposition return to war. The report notes, however, that the permanent ceasefire continues to hold in the major conflict areas of former Upper Nile, Unity and Jonglei states. The report warns that the increasing number of conflicts in other regions could trigger renewed fighting in Greater Upper Nile or Juba. Government spokesman Michael Makwe dismissed the ICG report, calling it baseless and unfounded.
These are the wishful thinkers who do not believe in peace for South Sudan. These are people who benefited behind crisis. And as such, they would all the time like to give negative reports about whatever happens in any part of the world, not even South Sudan alone.
Deputy spokesman in Riek Machar's office also denied that both the SPLM-IO and SPLM are reluctant to implement the peace agreement. Nyarji Roman admits that disagreements remain between the two parties over security matters.
I think once we implement it, it will reduce the tension between the two groups. That's not only going to help the security forces within the capital, starting from Juba to the other states, to handle the issue of the unknown gunmen.
Benny Gideon Mabor works with the South Sudan Law Society and is a civil society activist who took part in the peace talks in Addis Ababa. Mabor does not agree with the content of the report, but says both sides must focus on full implementation of the deal.
Once the terms of the agreement are not implemented in letter and spirit, it definitely led either to the resumption of war, the Nevala meeting, or the parties of the agreement renew their will and commitment to implement the peace agreement.
Mabor says the two sides must speed up implementing the security arrangements of the peace deal, including identification of the cantonment areas, registration of both parties' forces, and a full observation of the ceasefire. The ICG says as guarantors to the peace agreement, IGAD should use its authority to reaffirm the party's commitment to the ceasefire and rejection of further violence, as well as resolve differences regarding President Salva Kiir's unilateral decision to expand the number of states from 10 to 28. Several residents of Juba who spoke to South Sudan in Focus on condition of anonymity for fear of a government reaction say there is a tension among the former warring parties and a visible presence of government security personnel at roadblocks around Juba town. There is no explanation from the government for the deployment of national security operatives in several parts of the town. For VOA News, I am Mwake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, UNICEF says it needs far more funding to deal with crisis of displaced people in WAO. More on that after this.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite way to celebrate your birthday?
Yeah, my favorite way to celebrate my birthday, since I like cakes, I don't like having a birthday which is crowded, but cake should be my first priority, and drinks, then with my favorite friends.
I do chat on Facebook, my friends, they give me good words, encouragement, whatever may be the case. And then also at home, my parents, they do for me some, like preparing some food item. They can also do some cake and whatever. We enjoy with our family members.
Is to celebrate it with my family and my friends. I used to invite them. We gathered together, we blow the candles, and after that we sing the birthday song and we share everything that is there.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, and other humanitarian partners are ramping up efforts to help children and women in WAO after a wave of recent violence. UNICEF says aid agencies need more money to provide health care and nutrition to thousands of displaced people. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
UNICEF workers wrapped up a three-day anti-measles vaccination campaign on Monday that targeted 13,000 children displaced by the recent fighting in WAO. UNICEF spokesperson in South Sudan, Tim Irwin, says thousands of children are living in crowded conditions and are in urgent need of immunizations against measles, a disease that could kill them in the event of an outbreak.
These are children who have been displaced because of the recent fighting and are now living in displacement sites within WAO. So we've got teams doing immunizations in five of these displacement sites.
Aid officials estimate nearly 35,000 people fled the violence in WAO and have taken shelter at camps run by UNMISS, the International Committee of the Red Cross, and the Catholic Church. Irwin says another 30,000 are living outside of the city who have fled their homes.
A team of UNICEF and other UN agencies and NGO partners reached a small settlement called Mboro on Friday, and there was about 2,000 or 3,000 people on the ground. They're currently living in the bush because they're afraid that the fighting may spread to them. They're not affected by it directly at the moment, but they're afraid that it will spread to them.
Irwin says, besides vaccinating displaced children in WAO against measles, UNICEF and other aid organizations are also providing clean drinking water and sanitation facilities, including latrines, to minimize the spread of diseases. He says child-friendly spaces have also been created.
Infrastructure, if you like, in the sites is being built up. I visited a school building this morning, which was just erected over the last few days. It's bamboo and tarpaulin, but the children were in there, and they were singing and chanting, and the teacher was there. And, you know, for these children who've really gone through a horrible experience, it was, I think, for them, a very reassuring sense of normalcy, even in the midst of a displacement camp.
The UNICEF spokesman says the needs on the ground are huge. He says UNICEF and other aid agencies need at least $3 million to help all the displaced in Wau, but they have only received about half that amount so far.
Our core areas are health and immunization and nutrition and education and, of course, child protection, because there are many children who have become separated from their families, and so we need to work to reunify them, and that's a key area.
Irene is calling on donors to support international aid groups to provide basic services to the thousands of displaced people in Wau affected by the recent rampage in Wau town. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
From Wau, we move to Nairobi, where hundreds of Kenyan lawyers converged on downtown Nairobi Wednesday to protest the killing of their colleague, human rights attorney Willie Kimani, along one of his clients and a taxi driver. This was the second protest in Nairobi this week against the alleged extrajudicial killing by Kenyan police. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig covered the protest and has this report.
Traffic came to a standstill in parts of downtown Nairobi as hundreds of Kenyan lawyers, wearing purple ribbons, marched to the Supreme Court and then to the Office of the Inspector General of Police. The attorneys were protesting the alleged extrajudicial killings of Willie Kimani, his client, Josephat Mwenda, and their taxi driver, Joseph Marori, whose bodies were found in a river about 70 kilometers from Nairobi last week. Charles Kanjama is an advocate of Kenya's High Court and chairman of the Nairobi branch of the Law Society of Kenya, the group that organized the march.
So we want to raise awareness that this is a no-go area. You cannot attack lawyers. If you attack lawyers, you're attacking all the citizens, you're attacking the country. It means you're saying that no one is safe.
The three men disappeared following a court appearance on June 23rd, in which Kimani was defending Mwenda against what they say were trumped-up police charges following an April 2015 traffic stop. Police apparently shot Mwenda in the arm by accident during the stop. The incident escalated into a series of additional encounters with police. The same day, the attorney, his client, and their driver were allegedly taken to an administration police compound. Their bodies were found just over a week later. The three men were beaten and strangled before they were killed, according to an autopsy report. Outrage has been spreading in Nairobi as more information comes to light about the case. Human rights activists held a protest in Nairobi on Monday, and on Wednesday, a mob set fire to the police compound where the men were believed to have been taken. D.K. Githingi is a Nairobi-based attorney who participated in the lawyers' march.
We are, in a manner of speaking, the high priests of constitutionalism, the rule of law, and basically the justice system. And we do not want to degenerate to a situation where you will need to be looking behind your shoulders before you can represent a client.
His colleague, Faye Shirakuli, agrees with that sentiment.
You cannot silence people because you have that power. Because now the police have been given so much power that nobody will be seeking justice. If anything were to happen, then people will be afraid. I can't go to court. I can't do this because anything can happen to my life. You can't have that fear that you're being threatened every now and then.
Three police officers have so far been arrested in the case, and another is in custody. Kenya's Attorney General and the Inspector General of Police have told the public that they will bring those responsible to justice. Attempts to reach the police spokesman for additional comment were unsuccessful. The Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights released a statement condemning the killing of the three men. It called on the Kenyan authorities to strengthen efforts toward accountability, as well as take urgent measures to prevent extrajudicial executions and police brutality and other serious violations. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
A South African judge has sentenced sprinter Oscar Pistorius to 6 years for murder of his girlfriend, a sentence that has provoked outrage and may trigger another appeal from the prosecution. VOA's Anita Powell has followed the case from the beginning and has the latest from Johannesburg.
6 years for murder falls far short of the 15-year minimum recommended under South African law. But the law gives judges discretion in sentencing, and it's clear that Judge Tokozile Masipa exercised hers in handing down Oscar Pistorius's fate on Wednesday.
In the result, the sentence that I imposed on the accused for the murder, dolus eventualis, of the deceased, that is Riva Steenkamp, is 6 years imprisonment.
That's just 1 year longer than the 5-year sentence she originally gave him for his original conviction of culpable homicide, which is equivalent to the crime of manslaughter in the United States. That 2014 conviction was overturned last year by an appeals court. Pistorius had been granted parole and been released after serving a year in prison. It is unclear how much of the 6 years Pistorius will actually serve now. He was taken directly to his jail cell after the sentencing. Ever the deliberate jurist, Masipa explained her reasoning in a lengthy written opinion Wednesday morning. South Africa does not hold jury trials. The athlete, who made history for being the first double amputee to compete in the Olympics in 2012, is a fallen hero who has lost his career, she said. She said his request to do community service instead of jail time was a noble gesture. And she said a long jail sentence would not serve the interests of justice. No sentence she delivered, she said, would satisfy the South African public. She was right about that. The internet erupted with outrage over the news. Most of the South African public have been braying for blood since Pistorius was arrested for killing Steenkamp in 2013 at his Pretoria home. But Pistorius's brother Carl joined the fray on the other side, tweeting Wednesday, "The record has been set straight and justice done. The truth will always prevail." And in person, the spokeswoman for the ruling African National Congress's Women's League described the sentence as an insult to women. The League has been a constant presence at the trial and has called for harsh punishment for Pistorius. The big question now, is it over? Pistorius's defense team said they do not intend to appeal. The prosecution did not immediately say whether they planned to appeal. The entire affair has been a heady mix of sports, celebrity, and death. It has also been an eye-opening experience for the South African public, and, because it was the first South African trial to be broadcast live, an educational one. But at its core, this is a story of a young woman killed in her prime. Riva Steenkamp was killed on Valentine's Day when her boyfriend shot 4 times through a locked bathroom door, killing her. Pistorius says he mistook her for an intruder. She was a model, a law graduate, and an aspiring reality TV star. And she was the youngest child in her family. Her father testified last month that he thinks about her constantly, even now, 3 years after her death. She would be 33. Her parents did not speak to journalists as they shuffled out of court Wednesday. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Muslims across South Sudan today use the religious occasion of Eid al-Fitr to call on South Sudan's warring parties to fully implement the August peace deal. Sheikh Juma Ali, a Muslim community leader in Juba, says Islamic faithfuls in the country must disassociate from using religion to attain selfish interests. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Thousands of Muslims in Juba today attended morning prayers to mark Eid al-Fitr. Sheikh Juma Ali, who presided over the special prayers, used the religious holiday to send a strong message to the leader of the country.
Nowhere in South Sudan only to implement the peace agreement, because peace agreement he will give us a safe as the people of South Sudan. Implementation of the peace agreement is the one who will let the coming generation, they will get this South Sudanese a peaceful country.
Juma called on all Muslims to use the period of the Eid to preach peace in South Sudan. Juma says Muslims in South Sudan should work with the government to fight against any potential acts of terrorism, including those who say they are fighting in the name of Islam in South Sudan.
In Islam, they say that you must be a good person in the community. So, and the end of the day today, Muslims are divided. You see many names in Islam and then many groups in Islam and then many organizations and then many ideas in Islam. This is where today we will come as nothing all over the world. And then everybody now is fearing us. When you are going anywhere, you see that if you are Muslim, they are fearing you.
Juma says Muslims across South Sudan should use the Eid period as an opportunity to preach about the values of Islam.
We want Muslim community must be sit down. Let us go back because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't use the money for calling people in the region. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did use killing for the people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did insult in people. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a good relationship with Jews. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a good relation with Christian. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam he has been calling for peaceful way how people can stay together.
The South Sudan government has declared a 3-day national holiday for Muslims and one day for the Christians to celebrate the Eid al-Fitr. For VOA News, I am Waka Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. State officials in Torrid say 5 people were killed and at least 3 others injured in 2 separate incidents when unidentified gunmen attacked a passenger vehicle along the Torrid Capeta Road on Monday and Tuesday. A medical worker in Torrid says some of the wounded are listed in critical condition. Eyewitnesses say in the first incident, gunmen shot at a passenger vehicle on the Torrid Capeta Road, killing the driver. Passengers jumped out and fled into the bush. In other deadly violence, authorities say in Torrid they're looking for unknown gunmen who attacked a fire brigade and killed one guard. They also stole several guns during Saturday's attack. And finally, a Belgian-based think tank warns that South Sudan may slide back into a full-scale civil war, given all the recent outbreaks of deadly violence across the country and the failure of the 2 former warring parties to fully implement the peace deal signed nearly a year ago. In a recent report, the International Crisis Group said the honeymoon period for the deal is now over, adding that the peace agreement is on the verge of collapsing. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Dola Jadid by Silver X and WJ. We have been listening to Silver X and WJ with the song Dola Jadid. I am John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us again. We hope to have you here again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.